Good morning, church. And a beautiful morning it is. It is so good to look out and see you all, to be able to welcome you to this time of worship. It's been a beautiful weekend, and we celebrate Labor Day. A chance to remember that God has placed within each one of us a calling. And today we're going to hear a little bit more about the calling of Moses. I've got some announcements. First of all, I want to welcome our worship team this morning, including Ina Cho, who is here substituting for Andrew. Ina is our organist this morning. She's been here several times, and we welcome her. We welcome Sally Jarinko as our liturgist this morning. And she was not going to announce this, but I will. She and Steve have been married for 56 years. They just celebrated their...
What did he say?
And we have another wedding anniversary that we're going to get to later. Sally's going to take care of that one. And then, of course, we have Abby Lamp with us this morning, who will be sharing the children's sermon. So, first of all, everybody have their bulletin? All right, go to the very back cover. Do you see that? Wednesday Night Live is starting this coming Wednesday, September 6th, and I hope you are able to make it. I think we're going to have a grand time, frankly. So just remember, it's this Wednesday, and you can show up anytime between 5 and 7 for the meal, and then the other activities are listed, worship and education, and of course, rehearsals. Next Sunday, September 10th, we will be gathering here in the sanctuary at 10:15 a.m., one service, 10:15 a.m., if you would like to participate in adult education, yeah, I will be hosting an adult education hour beginning at 9 a.m. next Sunday. So I hope that several of you, all of you, might be able to attend. It'll be down in the fireside room, which, by the way, has been refurbished. If you get a chance, you need to check out the fireside room. It looks beautiful. And it's going to be our worship space for Wednesday Night Live. Next Saturday at 9 a.m. or at 9:30 a.m. is the women's retreat here. I want to make note of that as well. Scott Vanderberg is looking for social hosts to help with Sunday morning fellowship. So please be in touch with Scott and offer your assistance if you can. And who was here last week and was able to get some corn? All right, so here's the deal. No corn this week. However, we have tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant. And when we meet downstairs for fellowship time, you're able to make a donation that'll go towards the building restoration. Here's my one request, that you save a couple tomatoes for me. Those Brandywines are just a terrific tomato. I had one yesterday, a good old-fashioned tomato sandwich. I think we have covered the announcements. And now I'm going to invite each and every one of us to find a place that is centering. I want to invite you to let go of all the things that are running around in your head space and to bring your soul, your mind, and all that is with you to worship. For Moses, the experience of God came in the form of a burning bush that did not disintegrate, a mystifying symbol of God's presence. We gather as testimony to God's presence in this moment, in this place, and within this people. Moses wasn't looking for a religious experience, and he certainly wasn't looking to become a leader in liberating his fellow Hebrews. And yet, God has a way of finding us and communicating to our hearts the holy work set apart for us to do.
Moses wasn't alone. The promise God made was to be near to Moses, his heart, his thoughts, his whole being. And so it is with each one of us, as well as with our entire community. God is near, God cares, and God has brought us together to worship, knowing that new life and new beginnings are underway. Together, let us confess our sins. Liberating, guiding, and ever-present God, we wonder how many times you have caught our attention and we were not curious enough to come closer to experience the mystery of your presence. Maybe we were too busy or distracted or afraid of being put on the spot. Maybe deep down we realized that if we stopped and listened, you might ask us for something we wouldn't have time to engage, given our own set of priorities. Gracious God, who calls into the depth of our lives, liberate us from our own self-absorption so that we can see you in the midst of life's deepest needs. Forgive us when we turn away from the people and world you so love. Amen. The restoration and healing of the world begins with taking responsibility for our own blunders, lapses, and misunderstandings. God is always willing to forgive when our confessions are genuine and heartfelt. We are forgiven.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign that for you, that is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.
I'd like to invite the other children to come forward and join me on the steps for a story. Good morning, everybody. Have you guys gone back to school yet? Yeah. Well, so I'm glad we have a couple of extra days of summer right now to enjoy before school really kicks into high gear, right? You know, I need your help because there are two things in this story that I really don't understand. And I'm going to have to put the microphone down for a minute, so bear with me. A burning bush, right? Except the bush wasn't burning up. I don't understand that.
I have a match here, right? That's a wood match, right? Right? So that's just like the wood in that bush. So if I light this,
what happens to the match? It's kind of burning up, isn't it? And at some point it would get down to the point where I had nothing left, right? So how could that bush be burning and not burning up? Anybody know? What do you think? Maybe. I don't know. Did they put water on the bush, Pastor Dale? Did they put water on the bush? Is that why it wasn't burning?
I don't think they put water on the bush.
That's a good idea.
But that's
though.
A good idea.
Yeah. So, do you know? You think there's what? I wonder. It's a really strange thing. But I know that Mrs. Jarenko said something else. There was something in that bush that made it not burn up. And that was because God was talking to Moses through that bush. And it was God in that fire, in that bush, that made it not burn up. That's pretty amazing. I've never seen that happen. Well, here's the other thing that I don't get. When God said at the end, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and get all of the Israelites out of Egypt, then Moses said, well, who should I tell them sent me? And God said, I am who I am. You can tell them I am sent them. That That's a different name. I don't think I've heard God called I Am before. And then I thought, well, do you have different names that people call you sometimes? I see some interesting looks up here. Do you have nicknames that people call you sometimes? Or do people call you cute names that they make up? Yeah. And so maybe God has some different names, and it's all for the same God. And I think that's pretty cool that we can say sometimes, I am, when we're talking to God. And we can say, God. And we can even say, Lord, sometimes. So there's different things, different names that God has, but it's all the same God. Just the same way that you might have nicknames or other cute names that people call you sometimes, and it's all still you. And I have one last thing. If you have a few minutes sometime and you want to check out your hymnal, there are two numbers that you can look up that have to do with this story. And the first one is page 11, song number 11. And the other one is 572. You think you can remember those? Yeah, 11 and 572, and see what they have to do with the story from today. All right, so let's say a prayer together. Dear God, thank you for being our God, no matter what name we use. Thank you for helping Moses and getting the Israelites back to a safe place. And thank you for giving us a prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven,
give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
There's a reason an anthem like that comes right before the sermon. Because I need a little centering time. And Ina, thank you so much. It's just a beautiful way to center our lives around music, to hear those notes, to imagine the grace and wonder of God. Last Sunday, we focused on the birth of Moses. You probably know that he became one of the greatest prophets and teachers in the entire history of Israel. And he certainly could be considered the most consequential figure in the entire Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Moses was born in Egypt during a period when the Hebrews were experiencing mass oppression, denigration, and enslavement. And Egypt's Pharaoh was concerned that the Hebrew population was continuing to expand way too rapidly. And he feared that the Hebrews would one day outnumber the Egyptians. And in a cruel and inhumane act, Pharaoh decided that every Hebrew male, that was born would be thrown into the Nile River and drowned. And through a series of small miracles, the Hebrew baby Moses survived. His mother, two midwives, Moses' older sister, and finally Pharaoh's own daughter, each in a courageous way, made it possible for Moses to survive despite long and gloomy odds. Adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, Moses grew up in a house of royalty. Moses knew he was a Hebrew. And as an adult, he went out one day and came upon the savage cruelty experienced by his kinsfolk. It was the sight of an Egyptian taskmaster beating a fellow Hebrew that infuriated Moses. Seeing that Egyptian beat that slave. And when Moses thought no one was looking, well, he exacted retribution upon that Egyptian, killing him in cold blood, and then hiding him in the sand. But some of Moses' fellow Hebrews, well, they did see what Moses had done. And one day, when two of them got into a fight, Moses tried to stop it, only to have the Hebrew men challenge his authority. "Who are you, Moses, to tell us what to do? We know you killed that Egyptian. We know you did it." And soon after, Moses was running for his life because Pharaoh found out about Moses murdering that Egyptian taskmaster and came looking for him. Desperate, Moses flees to a place called Midian. It's on the eastern side of the Red Sea. And one day, while sitting near a well, he ended up coming to the defense of some Midianite women. They were trying to get some water for their father's sheep, but they were chased off by shepherds. Their father, Jethro, was a priest. And long story short, ended up giving one of those daughters to Moses as a wife. In the meantime, the Hebrews in Egypt were still groaning in pain and suffering. It was agony. And what happened next was astonishing. Moses was literally near a mountain in the middle of nowhere, tending to his father-in-law Jethro's flock of sheep, when he noticed this strange flame appearing within a bush. He had to take a closer look. And it was only when Moses drew closer to the bush that God spoke. "Don't come any closer," ordered God. "And take off your sandals. You're on holy ground now." And it was then that God began to share the pain that God was holding. God was sharing this pain with Moses. God was very well aware that God's people, the Hebrews, were suffering. They were being tormented. They were being beaten. They were being treated as nobodies. And God needed help. It was an incredibly personal encounter, not to mention a frightening one. Moses couldn't even bear to look any longer. God needed a messenger, a leader, someone with courage, heart, soul. And he asks God, "Why me? Why me? Who am I? What kind of power do I have?" That was Moses' first question. But what God knew was that Moses was also feeling that pain for his brothers, sisters, and siblings in Egypt. God knew that Moses was feeling and understanding that suffering. God knew that Moses was very troubled when he saw that Egyptian taskmaster beat that Hebrew slave. God knew Moses' heart. And so something of a calling was already emerging within Moses' soul, but something had to call it out. Something had to make it real. Someone, somehow,
had to convey the urgency. And that is often the case with you and me. Something troubling, something disturbing, something needs attention, something is rumbling within us, something keeps nagging us, it keeps coming up, it keeps appearing in our lives. And then there's a moment when something which is beyond us speaks to our souls. And we ask, why me? Why me? And God's answer is, why not you? Why not you? I know you care. I know you have heart. I know you have gifts that you yourselves are not even aware of to do my work. And it doesn't matter the size of the calling. You may be called to engage a family crisis. You may be called to engage a situation at work. Something needs attention because pain, suffering, or injustice is involved. There's a Quaker author named Parker Palmer. He recalled an experience that he had when he was facilitating a retreat for some 20 government officials. And one of the participants at that retreat was working for the Department of Agriculture. This man had previously been a farmer in Iowa. And now he was a government employee, and he was in the midst of trying to handle a proposal regarding the preservation of topsoil. You know that in this vast agribusiness, these massive, massive corporations who are farming, topsoil is being depleted at an astonishing rate. And having been a farmer himself, he knew in his heart how to handle this proposal. However, his supervisor saw the matter much differently. And on the last day of the retreat, after a sleepless night, the man shared with the group the clarity around his calling. Someone asked how he would deal with his boss. "It won't be easy," he said. "But during this retreat, I've remembered something important. I don't report to my boss. I report to the land." What a profound moment. This government employee experienced that troubling, that disturbing, that nagging sense that something he cared deeply about, God's land, was being threatened. There was an injustice, and this man felt it deeply.
And my hunch is that this caring group who surrounded this man during the retreat held the sacred space necessary so that this government employee could affirm his calling. It was an opportunity to convey the urgency. God needed help to preserve the land. Who would God send? This guy. It happens every day. God calls people who know the situation, who understand the context, who comprehend the suffering, the pain, the injustice. In the case of Moses, God needed help to preserve God's own people. And that's when Moses offered a concern. He says to God, "Am I on my own with this dangerous and risky mission?" And God was quick to respond, I will be with you. "Okay," said Moses. "Okay. If I go back to Egypt, if I go back to my Hebrew kinsfolk, who should I say is authorizing this perilous, this risky move towards liberation?" I need to give them a name. And God responded, "I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. Tell the Hebrews, I am sent you." Now, by asking God's name, Moses was attempting to get a sense of God's identity, God's being. This was a way to sort of get Moses' arms wrapped around God, a way to define God. But here's the thing. God refuses to be completely defined. God refuses to be boxed in. God refuses to be controlled by you and I, manipulated. God will be what God will be. That is enough. Moses was to go to Egypt knowing that the indefinable God was with him. That would be enough. Now, as you go through your life, there will be moments when you are called. And we're not talking about a call to become a pastor. But a different kind of call. You know, the kind of call that Moses had. The kind of call where a person like you is in the world and important stuff needs to be done. That kind of call. That's a call to respond to hurt, suffering, injustice. It might be a call to serve on a church board or a community board. Or it might be a call to respond to your next-door neighbor or a friend or a stranger. Just remember this. God may know something about your ability to respond that you yourself are not even aware of. You may be just the person God is looking for. And that is good news. Amen.
We have a joy this morning to share. Mark and Karen Methley will celebrate their 52nd wedding anniversary tomorrow. We have several concerns. Alan Johnson is in Jefferson Abington Hospital. Jim Stevenson continues his treatment at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. And Jim, neighbor of Mark and Sarah Hogan, has been diagnosed with lymphoma. With these joys and our concerns, let us pray. Gracious God, on this Labor Day weekend, we honor the dignity of all workers and our duty to use the fruits of our labor for others. Teach us to recognize you and help us to follow you in the midst of our busy life. Teach us to be good stewards so that we may use our gifts wisely and care for all those we meet along the way. We thank you for the blessing of work and the strength to complete each day. We ask for rest when we are weary and your continued guidance. When we are overwhelmed, encourage us. When we are frightened, strengthen our faith. When we become complacent, challenge us. Now in silence, we give you thanks, O God. Today we celebrate Mark and Karen, who will celebrate 52 years of marriage tomorrow. We pray for Alan and Judy Johnston and Jim Stevenson. We pray for Jim, neighbor of Sarah and Mark. Give them comfort, strength, and hope during these difficult times. Like Moses, let us hear your word and follow your commands with unyielding faith and prayerful persistence. As we prepare to begin a new church year, help us make this a time of spiritual renewal, hope, and action in all our deeds to honor you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Part of our calling as people of faith is to give not only of our lives, but of the riches, the bounty that God has bestowed upon us. So we now receive those gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
great and wondrous God, these gifts in part represent our love for you, our love for your kingdom and your presence in our lives. May these gifts be used in the work of alleviating suffering and evil. And may they be instruments of peace and fellowship and goodwill. And we pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I hope each and every one of you have an opportunity to enjoy today and tomorrow, which is a holiday. Just remember, when you go out, and if you go shopping or you're having something done where someone is working for you, you know, just some kindness tomorrow and today, and every day for that matter. It doesn't hurt to say thank you or to smile to that store clerk, because they may, in fact, be working tomorrow. So remember them and remember the world. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.